Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytané and Tsintsiyan First Nations are your hosts.
I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
This week, we have a special episode for you. Last December, a contingent of physicians from British Columbia attended the Institute of Healthcare Improvement's annual forum held in Orlando, one of the largest gatherings of healthcare quality improvers globally. This included a small number from Northern Health, and we thought it would be a great idea to get those Northern physicians together for a chat to share their experiences and their learnings from the event. The Northern contingent consisted of Dr. Kayla Blackstock, a family doc based in Smithers and the co-chair of Northern Health's PQI program and its physician QI advisor, Dr. Darren Jakubek, a family doc and GP anesthetist and the Northern Health Northwest PQI physician champion, Dr. Kristin Fabriel-Leclerc, a specialist psychiatrist based in Prince George and a cohort 6 alum of Northern Health's advanced PQI training program, Dr. Ian Scocking, a family doc and eMERGE physician based in Prince George, and the physician co-chair of the Shared Care Committee of the Doctors of BC, and Dr. Omesh Sayal, a family doc based in Prince George and the board chair of the Health Data Coalition of British Columbia. And here's the recording of that session. So welcome all of you, and thank you for joining us today. I'm hoping we can hear about your individual and collective experience from last December's IHI Forum, probably the largest global healthcare quality improvement conference in the world every year, showcasing some amazing QI work from around the world, workshops, keynote addresses, and poster displays. And so let's start off with a few questions to kick off our discussion. First of all, what were your top learning points, do you think, that you took away from the QI sessions that you attended? And I wonder, who can start off with you, Kayla?
Sure. There were so many takeaways, so this is a hard question to answer. But one of the, probably my top learning point was learning more about the concept of failure demand, which is a concept that I was not familiar with. And I just wrote down the definition so I can read it to, because that makes it more clear than how I can explain it. And I think it's a really interesting and maybe underutilized way at looking at increasing system capacity, which I love thinking about. So failure demand is demand caused by failure to do something or to do something right for the customer. Customers come back, making further demands, unnecessarily consuming the organization's resources because the service they receive is ineffective. So obviously that adds additional strain to system capacity. And it's just really interesting to look at system capacity from that lens as well. Not just building capacity, but building capacity by making it effective at the same time. So I loved that.
Am I allowed to jump in?
Of course.
Well, I'm not sure if it was a learning because it was so broad and so comprehensive. But one thing that I brought back, and this is with my vice president of our MSA hat, was an amazing project done in New York City called I Care With Kindness. And so this is a cultural transformation project, which runs on a PDSA cycle. There were elements of the project where in the quintuple aim, the provider satisfaction was being considered as well as patient satisfaction with excellent outcomes. And there are elements of that project that we already have in place at Northern Health, including some initiatives for physician wellness. But I felt it would be an excellent and very timely project to implement because of the challenges that we have in morale in our institution, the challenges that we have with engagement and burnout. And we do have problems with incivility as well that have grown a little bit with those other stressors, lack of resources. And I can see how that ties into, you know, that concept of, you know, failure to deliver a proper service because maybe you're under-resourced and then of course the person comes back. So I was very, very excited. I've done a fairly deep dive into the material for that, and we've had a chance to share that material with the Board of Northern Health. And again, whether that project will go ahead here or not go ahead here, there are some excellent elements of it that we can incorporate. So I have to say that was a highlight for me, just having the excitement of such a great fit of a project to be able to consider spreading to our Northern Health Authority.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. And I did sense a bit of a theme actually running, an under theme running through the conference around civility and social awareness and culture as well. And I think people are feeling that that is something that needs addressing everywhere. I think it's a global issue.
I was also like really intrigued. I guess another learning was, you know, how do you, because there was the whole concept of social capital, which is financially, it doesn't cost much. And in our cost conscious, you know, times, this is an important concept. So I think Dr. Tom Lee's presentation on how do you actually enforce this, and contrasting the Mayo where they answer their pages right away versus his institution where they maybe would answer their page in a day or two. And the fact that it became such a cultural norm that not to do it defined ostracism from the community, basically. It was just, so I thought that that was interesting as well. And that's really the sign of a successful cultural shift when everybody is so appreciative of that culture. They get benefit. They recognize colleagues get benefit. There's a sense of bonding, a pride in your organization, and you're just not going to drop the ball. So I thought that was kind of a very good compliment as well.
I've heard that comment so many times after that conference about the whole answering your pager immediately at the Mayo Clinic and how they do it and how they ostracize you if you don't do it. And that's, as you're right, that's, it's surprising and yet not surprising. I mean, that's how they maintain such an excellent level of quality, by having that culture, right? So that comment, Christian, leads us nicely on to talk about maybe the keynotes, because the keynotes are something which are, they're a big part of the forum every year, right? And this was perhaps no exception. And so I was going to ask, you know, what were your favorite moments from the keynotes this year, or the ones that you attended? Amesh, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I do. And before we even jump to that, I just wanted to echo on Christian's point as well, too. I attended the pre-forum as well as the forum. So I was there for like a good few days. And the first session I went to, very first session, first day, was called Launching and Sustained Quality and Safety Initiatives Requires Accountable Professionals and a Plan. And it just echoed everything that you said, Christian, about that. You know, it's the obligation for that self-regulation, the cultural changing starting at the top. It was just that session got us even out of our comfort zone. They made us have that conversation, you know, as physician leaders, as leaders in health authority. I don't think we see or do enough of that. And you know, so I just echo that. And I think that's, it just ties in well to what you said. And then in terms of the favorite moment from the keynote, I think it was, I don't know. I they were all good, but Fauci always just, it just stood out to me. You know, the amount he went to, the work that he's done. I think it was mostly it wasn't even the COVID stuff, to be honest. It was his work in Africa with the AIDS during the, I think it was the Bush administration. And I just it was just that sense of pride, the sense of work that he was doing, the sense of doing right, doing good, how many lives he touched and cured, or not cured, treated with that work. I thought that was just it was really uplifting and motivating for the work that we do here.
I agree completely. And Fauci's keynote, Anthony Fauci, for me was also a complete highlight to actually see the guy, meet him, hear what he has to say, hear about his career, which is phenomenal. You know, people know him mostly from the COVID, but in fact, it stems right back. And he's such an amazing, kind, thoughtful, inclusive person. I thought that was amazing.
Was nice to hear more about even exactly outside of COVID. But yes, I agree. Sure.
Any other comments on the keynote?
I don't really have anything new to say because I think Anthony Fauci was the absolute highlight of that conference. Don Berwick obviously is always so great to hear. And his daughter being there with him was quite special. But I agree. Hearing Dr. Fauci speak about his career, and he was focused on what he wanted to do, and he knew it was the right thing to do, and he just had this resilience to stick with his goal, regardless of politics or social circumstances or, you know, anything that maybe could have derailed him. That was really remarkable to hear about.
It was remarkable. And, you know, it made the whole issue around his heightened security even more poignant, right? Because here's a guy who's had this amazing career, devoted his career and his life to others in his field, to his patients, to the population health. And here he is having to have beefed up security for his talk at the IHI. That was really quite something, actually. Did anyone have any favorite forum moments from outside the main conference or outside the keynotes that they care to mention?
I have to say, I feel a little bit embarrassed because I cannot remember the name of this lovely speaker, but there was a very special self-created film shown by a beautiful woman who had gone through postpartum depression and kind of lived with some racism, some financial hardships, and it was just very difficult for her to reach out and get the care that she needed. And, you know, as a result of not having food, she was not able to nurse her baby, and kind of just things spiraled. And I found that a very, very powerfully moving account. And I think one of my favorite moments was actually that we hugged each other after her presentation, and it just felt very moving and very touching. And I think it just really brings to mind kind of the core for me in all of this, which is the patient experience. And we don't always consider it, I think, as deeply as we could. So I think that her account was very, very powerful. And really, she was asking people to see the human and not the patient, to try to take the time and to try to really understand, you know, what's going on, all of which are essential in a healthcare encounter. So I just found that kind of a very personally, and I feel so embarrassed that I can't remember the name of her movie, but I would look it up just because she was a very strong, resilient human.
Excellent. And it's always good to get that perspective, isn't it? I think it just keeps you grounded and just reminds you who you're doing this work for, I think, which is so important.
Mm-hmm. You don't realize sometimes how profoundly you can affect another human being. You know, maybe you're rushed, maybe this, maybe that, and yet that person has been waiting so long for this one encounter and has hopes and, you know, everything pinned on this. So it just really kind of, I thought, was a very powerful invitation to, you know, to be able to be more human in our encounters, right?
Agreed. Did anyone go to any of the evening receptions at all, or any of the social stuff?
Yeah, there was a meet and greet. It was in one of the afternoons from 2 till 4. And I thought that was great. You know, they got us up and moving and interacting with others. But the biggest thing was being able to interact with others. They made us move to a table of three, then a table of three, and a table of three. And it was just very interesting to see and hear from a lot of people across the world. And especially even within Canada, learning what my colleagues in Saskatchewan are doing, QI, learning what someone's doing in Alberta, and just being able to connect with that. And it makes you think and you self-reflect on the QI work that you're doing right now, you know, and it's amazing to see, you know, how different we are, but also how similar a lot of the things that we're working on. Just puts in a different perspective, I think.
It's amazing, actually, just talking, like you say, Umesh, to other participants. And I got a lot of feedback from American people that they kind of enjoyed talking to Canadians. You know, and some people actually, because we had our co-leadership, our wonderful co-leadership poster and presentation there, and just the comments were so interesting. And like, how do you get your physicians to even do this? Like, do you pay them? Do you, I don't know, they just are, you know, kind of maybe keeners, I'm not sure. But it was interesting to see that in some other institutions, there's so much of a cultural divide. And I mean, we have our challenges too, but somehow maybe we're a little bit more united than what we realize.
I actually, one of the workshops I went to on the day before the main conference was a workshop on human-centered design as a framework for improvement, which is one of the frameworks that they use out of the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. And I was on a table, sort of breakout table, where we were working through our own project on, we decided we'd pick falls. And I had I think a couple of Americans, and I had a couple of Danish delegates, and I had a delegate from Japan. And it was really, really interesting to see the different perspectives from the patient's perspective, from the carer's provider's perspective. But, you know, all of us recognized that we had issues with falls in our institutions, and that this was a universal problem. But it was really, really good to tap into all those different perspectives. Really was a truly international group of people we had, and that was really fun, actually.
Mm-hmm. I actually was really lucky one day, and I ended up sitting next to, I think she was like a CEO of the health authority for Nova Scotia, or was it New Brunswick? But it was, we just happened to be sitting together, and I found out that all of a sudden the psychiatrist didn't have a section anymore. Like, or actually I found that out even from another participant. And so I found out like in their medical association that things had kind of really broken down. And so I got to hear a few of the challenges in their province. And that also made me think that, well, I guess we're not doing that bad. You know, so, I mean, it's amazing sort of the other Canadian participants, like Umesh, you were saying, you end up talking to these people, and it's just the power of networking is so amazing. You just get ideas from different places, or you make these connections. So I came back really inspired. And I'm glad that I could bring one practical thing back. Like, I do appreciate that they give us access to the materials after the fact. And so I have gone back to some of the materials and done a bit of a deeper dive, because there are just so many things to try and avail yourself of, and you just really can't, you're quite saturated, you can't bring it all back. So it's lovely that they give you, you know, that 90 days to listen to recordings or to revisit parts of things, because it's really an experience that you want to bring back and share. And that has also allowed me, you know, to share it with some of my colleagues here, like, listen to this, what do you think, you know?
Yeah, that's great. And thank you for that practical takeaway. Did anyone else have a practical takeaway? Is it something that's going to change their practice or their QI work that they picked up while they were there?
Yeah, if I just summarize it, the whole thing was a bit overwhelming, but certainly there was a lot of inspiring aspects that I can to mirror a few of the things. Just the value of networking and networking in person. There was that one Canuck night and going between tables of three and four, talking to people from different provinces. And I just lunched with people I didn't know, different places, going to an event like this. I love the small group thing. And I went to the, what are they called? International cafe thing, where you'd have 10-minute presentations. And you got like, I don't know, four or five of them in. It was just brilliant, because you get to the point really quickly. You meet other people really quickly. And what a diverse perspective that can be. Once again, just networking. The value of networking was inspiring. And how do we meet other people? And I think ultimately going with the same message, if we're confident enough to meet other people and get out of our comfort zone, then good communication can happen. And I think if I summarize everything that I've said here, it amounts to that, which is kind of the same message.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, my big takeaway. So for those who don't know me, I'm a family doctor here in Prince George, but I also serve as a chair for a Health Data Coalition, HDC. And, you know, we're data-driven healthcare for communities, regions, divisions, system changes for the province. And, you know, the big thing I took away during one of the events, which I'm going to actually utilize in that aspect, is we're trying to network map. And one of the big things was finding and developing a project champion for each. And, you know, that, and one of the key core attributes that they should have, and I had to write this down because it's great, was, you know, passion for the work, is willing to use influence, is a visionary, is a risk taker, is an ambassador, and has a sense of humor. So the plan is, when I go to my next board meeting next week, is to bring this up, talk about network mapping, and see if I can touch into each division and see if we can find a project champion that we could utilize. Because, you know, like I said, like I think we have like over 1,200 users. You know, we have 4,500 physicians, family doctors utilizing. So, you know, just I think that was the biggest piece I took out that I'm going to impact with my HDC hat. And then privately, or in my own private office, was another thing that came out was one of my, during the main forum, it was called Better Quality Through Better Measurements. And, you know, that really struck out to me, that whole presentation. So when I do my own QI, that is going to be stuck in the back of my head as I go through my own panel to try to make patient improvements.
Any further comments if you have them?
I'm going to go regularly because I do see it's very easy when you're working to be in your lane, right? We all get used to our routines, our networks, and IHI shakes that up. It allows us to have, even though it's a very busy, saturated experience, it does give us that opportunity of reflection, of just having those aha moments. And then what I love seeing you there, Umesh and Ian, and, you know, you as well, you know, Dr. Scheer, because it was just so fun to meet in that environment. So next year, my plan is I'm going to be inviting colleagues. I want to make it kind of like a December retreat, but I guess it's in Anaheim, California next year. I thought it would be in Florida, but it's in Anaheim, California. So I just think it's a wonderful opportunity. It was the second time I attended. I loved it the first time, and I was just so grateful I got to go this time.
Also, too, I would say, to speak with those colleagues, utilization of our JCC funding can help with costs. So, you know what, you don't have to eat a lot of that cost. There are scholarships that people can use.
Oh, I just wanted to comment about having colleagues there, because that is actually, I mean, this conference in particular is so big. It's so inspiring. It can also be, it's energizing, but it's a lot too, right? So one of my favorite things is finding that time that you don't have in your everyday life with your routine and in your lane, like you were saying, so you have this time where you see a colleague where you haven't maybe spoken with them in person off of Zoom before, or just don't get a chance to catch up. And I had quite a few opportunities to do that with colleagues in Northern Health, and it was so, so great. So I agree. I'm going to invite everybody too.
The biggest takeaway I took was that the most effective teams were ones where the managers know the people as humans, right? The connect before contact, the whole, all of the stuff that is, you know, human being, not human doing, that if we want an effective team, we need to know each other as people. I took that one. I took the whole, there was that one about kindness, where how they had made a huge change in New York of all places by simply asking people what would kindness look like and then trying to do that. So in my mind, that I really took away that much of the stuff isn't rocket science, it's relationship. And that all of the stuff that works is built on relationship. And if we did a better job of relationship, understanding each other as people, then it works. And I know as physicians, if, you know, I don't tend to give another physician grief if I actually know them, right? I'm less likely to be hard on them. So in my mind, that's the main messages I took away. I mean, Fauci was amazing, right? Blow you away, what a life. The man stood on the line. I mean, who would invite people writing hate mail into his office, right? That's what he did to try and figure out the why. And then he figured out that HIV patients were being given the option of going blind or dying, and they didn't want to have to make that choice. And then he changed the RCT rules. So that was pretty insightful.
Okay, thank you for those comments. I'm just going to actually open it up a little bit now, and while we've got everyone here, and see if anyone has any questions for the panel, feel free just to lobby your question if you have one for us, and we'll do our best.
I have one.
Go ahead, Laura.
I love the idea of inviting colleagues, and I love hearing about everything that all of you bring back. But unfortunately, we're never going to be able to drain all of Northern Health and all go at the same time. So I'm curious how we can capture the spark and the magic and what we can bring back, or what elements of IHI are things that we can recreate here so that everyone has a chance to experience a little piece of it.
I love that question. Any thoughts from the people on the panel?
We need to import some palm trees, Laura.
There are a bunch of the talks that were sort of canned that would maybe be interesting to at least share the content. I probably can't play the whole talk to somebody who wasn't there, but to share some of what we talked about today might be worthwhile somewhere.
We could have popcorn and movie nights and sort of watch, you know, about social capital and Fauci, and have little discussions and have a little bit of food or something like that, right? I mean, I think every time we get to network just in our own institution, like at social events, it's always educational as well, because you're meeting new colleagues that you've never met before. So I think, you know, as far as being able to bring back content, they do allow you to bring back a certain amount. But you're right, it's really hard to disseminate that, like, unless you're going to be able to apply that to a project. So I think Omesh's comment that there are these, you know, scholarships, you know, and maybe making those more widely known, talking about the event so maybe more people have a chance to go.
I think this podcast is a great idea and a great way to share some learnings and spark some interest and maybe open up more conversations. So I think this should be an annual podcast after every IHI. I think that would be great.
Yeah, and I think we tap into that JCC funding as well, right? So maybe make it give it a spot in VALS towards the end and promote it. Maybe bring in a physician who's been to talk about it, and at alumni events perhaps as well. Just because I don't know anyone who's gone and not really got a tremendous out of it. You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen. You go, and even if you can't remember individual cases and individual sessions, you just come back so motivated. And I think that you know, speaks for itself.
Can I just say how great our co-leadership project was received? It was really amazing. So we had a lot of interest from people. And then I was looking at all of the other projects, and I noticed that Alberta also had a leadership project, but not a co-leadership project. So they had online modules where physicians could sort of look at some topics, but nowhere near the impact of ours. And when I described the dyad model, you know, people were very, very intrigued. And then, you know, that whole project also created a cultural shift for the lucky participants, right? It created a network where when we still see each other in the hospital, it's like, oh, hey, you know, there's this warmth, there's this connection. So Laura, again, reflecting on your question, I think PQI has a role to play, perhaps for people who aren't even doing a project or who may not be in a leadership position, but somehow there's some kind of educational component, there's a social component, it's interactive. You know, maybe that's something where we could consider creating some events, you know, in the hospital where people can just wander in, not having to take on a project, but even just to get some questions answered or to have some lateral thinking or out of the box thinking.
Well, I feel it's pretty safe to say that everyone got a lot out of the conference. Final question, just to take us out. We know your answer is, Christine, but would you go again? Would you recommend it for other healthcare quality improvers? And any tips for future first-time attendees? We heard about Darren talking about how it was pretty big, and I think it is. It's quite can be quite overwhelming. But any tips for future?
Can I give a tip? I don't want to be a hog of the, but register early, as early as you can, so you can get the sessions that you want. And then when you're down there and you realize, okay, I didn't get all the sessions that you want, decide the ones that you do really want and sneak in early.
It worked, yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's permitted to say that, but it was an effective strategy.
The Fauci one, they had cops and they had all kinds of stuff. But all the other ones, for the most part, you could usually sneak in to the better ones.
That's right. Any other tips for first-time attendees?
I would say to try to not bring any extra work or anything else that you want to do, if at all possible, because it's just so impactful to be able to be in the moment and be there and have the opportunity to reflect and connect with colleagues. And that's challenging to do if you've got, you know, paperwork to do, or you've got to make these few calls or do all these emails or whatever. I mean, it's doable, but I think it would be less enjoyable. So that would be my tip. Try to really dedicate the time.
And one last tip is make sure your whatever roaming plan you purchase, like YubiKey or whatever, make sure it works ahead of time. Like, give yourself a little lead time so that it does work for you when you're down there.
That's true. There's a lot of WhatsApp messages going around on the the groups, just to try and coordinate everybody. Amesh, any final tips?
No, I think for me it was registering early and picking my events early. And you know, I got to go to all the AI ones, which I really wanted to do. So I was happy with that. Early bird gets the worm.
Excellent. I agree. Well, that's a great moment to go out on. So thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your experiences. And yeah, we should do this again. Okay. Thank you all. If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycomms@northernhealth.ca, and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Sher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca.